mean so anyway. Continue our series. As Kevin mentioned, we've got some different things going on. Next Sunday, we're just having our service at regular service time. And then New Year's Eve, we'll be having our regular stuff and then having a time of fellowship afterwards. I encourage you to bring something, hang out, we'll play games. When you need to leave, you leave, but we'll have a good time. But also, on our New Year's Eve service, we'll be doing the Lord's Supper. And kind of like to let you know that because you can prepare your hearts and minds for that. You don't have to be a member of the church to partake the Lord's Supper. You need to be a member of Christ's family and that receiving the Savior and Lord. So I think it's a good way to start a new year on just looking at ourselves and focusing on the things. So those are the things that are going to be coming up. And so I encourage you to get ready and be a part of that. So the song... And Todd, the sermon, Silent Night, and I could have got the history of the song wrong because it's been a while, but when they had written the lyrics to the song and they were going to do it, obviously, at some kind of Christmas service to present it in Europe and things like that, they were getting ready, just kind of like the heat today. If you're a little cool, some of you may be feeling just right. Some of you may be freezing. Depending on where you are in your life cycle, okay, you're either burn up, you're freezing, you're wondering about if you're anemic, I don't know what, but the heat's off and it'll come on probably by the time we go out the door. But anyway, so they're getting ready to do the song Silent Night, been written, brand new song, they're going to do it at a Christmas service, and the organ is broken. In case you need to know what an organ was, it was something that used to be right there. And, but anyway, and if you've ever been, like where Heather and I went to college at John Brown University, and we want to go back there again sometime, they always do a candlelight service. And a lot of those universities, they have a chapel and everything. They have the huge organ with the pipes. So this was a church like that, probably. And here presenting a new song, and it's written for the organ, and the organ's busted. That would be like today for some of you, not putting mega churches down or whatever with the heats off or... This piano here is electronic, even though it doesn't look like it. If all those things went away, what are we going to do? Could we worship God? When I heard that the heat was off, you know, it's like, well, those people in those old churches with the potbelly stove that was up front, they seemed to come and, you know, whatever. So, you know, so many times when the silence or the order of our life is broken, we're like, I know a lot of you are as calm as a cucumber. That's when I start like, what do? That kind of thing. And so that's what was going on there. You know, it was going to be a silent night in a way. New song, service, organs broken. Question I have for you is, how do you deal with this, with silence in your life? See, I think we're in a society now that wants to keep you so distracted. Satan loves to distract you and keep you on the next thing, whether it's the news or the next newest thing or what's going on everywhere. A lot of us do not like silence. A lot of us do not like pause. And in a way, we're looking for peace that's not really godly peace. So how do you deal with silence in your life? And how do you define peace in your life? Some of you during this time, it's like, well, did I get exactly what they wanted? Did I get everybody on the list? Did I go to everything that I needed to go to or do everything that I needed to do? I'm not so sure that that's peace. And... here's another thing, what needs to be silenced in your life? And so, the chaos of Christmas, we struggle to find, to know, to follow, to have a silent life. And if you follow the words of the song, to have heavenly peace. You can choose the world's definition, and it will not be heavenly peace because it's the world's definition. It'll be like, well, this will make you have peace for maybe 2 seconds. Somebody not bothering you, have peace for however long that goes. Or we talk about, and we'll get into that scripture in a little bit, you're either going into trouble, in the middle of trouble, or coming out of trouble. And so the world's definition is like try to aim at something that is a target that is constantly moving to have a momentary peace. Or you can choose God's Christ definition. Your action step today is live a silent life. Have the peace of Christ. Live a silent life. Have the peace of Christ. Last week we talked about following Christ. We talked about He is the light that shines and following the light. Light can sometimes test our peace. I want you to think about that. If Christ is the light, that John talks about, and in our society today, but in all the time, following the light, Christ can sometimes test what you have defined as peace. Because peace is not the absence of chaos around you. It's peace within that. It's Psalms 23 that you go through all those things in life, but he's with you. So we talked about in last week John 1:9 that says, you know, the darkness cannot be overtaken, and we need to let the peace of Christ shine in your life and follow the light, which is Christ. And why can't the light be overtaken? Because it possesses an amazing quality that no matter how little light there is, it can't be overtaken. You just need a little bit of light. And so Christmas reminds us, according to John 1:9, the true light that gives light to everyone has come into the world. That's what Christmas is about. That what God has promised since Genesis has been completed in the New Testament, and now there's no excuse for us to make a choice whether we're going to follow the light or not. Christ is the true light. And Christmas is a time to celebrate the light at Christ coming into the world. And we can have a silent night because he is the light and nothing can overtake him. Nothing can put him out. Luke 1:79 says this, to shine on those who live in darkness and the shadow of death and to guide our feet in the way of peace. This is the purpose of Jesus coming into this world, to shine the light so that because we're in darkness. We're in darkness. We can't see. We don't know that we have a need. And so this is why we have this word that we're looking at today. And this is why I'm doing what I'm doing and why you're motivated as Christians to go and tell is because we're to shine light on those that are in darkness and to guide us to the way of true peace. Guys, all you got to do if you want to, if you're brave, is you go to Walmart and you sit down at the front and just watch people. They're already in a tizzy, now they got to check out their own thing. And this is where the sarcasm, and I got to get Jesus in me. I haven't done it this year, but whenever I have, it ticks me off when I got to check myself out, and I got to wait in a line to check myself out. And then I get in there, and I see a Walmart employee. It's not their fault, but I'll say, man, I was off work today, but I had to come in for the holidays and work, you know, and I didn't say it this year. I'll try to do better because I hold myself accountable but if you want to watch, or if you're really into it, you know, those people that are the last minute, and it's not even about Christmas. You just watch people, they're just like deer caught in headlight. Where is this moving target of temporary peace? But this is why Jesus came, to say, look, you don't have to be in this rat race. I'm the true light, and I will guide you to real peace. And so your first fill, and it's going to spell out the word peace, okay? The purpose of the light is to guide us to peace. It's to guide us to peace. You need to really think about these terms. You need to take the term happiness and probably just throw it away. I'm not saying we can't have happy times. I'm not saying we can't be happy. I am convinced people are trying to define what's good in their life by being happy. Well, happiness is fleeting. You need to think about, why does God always mention joy? Because joy is lasting. The true light is lasting. Peace is lasting. And so Christmas marks the beginning of peace with God, with the God of the silent night. And we can see this in the song, and we can see this in the shepherd's story. Their story started with being startled. Okay, they're the outcast, and it ended in a silent night. And you can look at the lyrics of Silent Night. It says, shepherds quake at thy sight. Okay, we wouldn't have done any different. We're out there minding our own business, doing our job, and God shows up in a big way. And you're supposed to be an outcast anyway, so what do you have to do with me? You see in Luke 2, verses 9 through 11, then the angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. They were surrounded, and they were terrified. But the angel of the Lord said, don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior is born to you, who is Messiah, the Lord. Wow. Christ initiated the peace. We love him because he first loved us. Christ senses our fear. You should have a healthy fear of God. The fact that it should terrify you that I am not God and this is God. And the glory, but notice what he does in the middle. He doesn't just say, yeah, you're going to be afraid of me. He says, fear not. He comforts us in the midst of our fear. And then he encourages us and invites us to true peace. The message of peace that Christ the Savior is born. The light has come to shine to guide us to true peace today. And that's the message I'm sharing to you right now. And that's the message, Christians, that should be on your lips, not just at this season, but especially, but at all times. Your next feeling, we can have a silent night and have the peace of Christ because he encourages us to peace. I want you to think about that for a minute. Do you think God doesn't want you to have peace with him? Do you think God wants you to be up at night worrying about whatever you're worrying about? His word gives us the means, and him giving us a relationship, we choose him, and the Holy Spirit gives us the means and the ability to have a silent night, to have heavenly peace. He's encouraging us. We have been taught somehow, somewhere, even in my life, that God doesn't like us, he tolerates us. Well, if God doesn't like us and he tolerates us, he certainly wouldn't send the greatest gift, his son, to die, to be buried, and to take our sins and to rise again. God loves you. God loves me. And yeah, we're a hot mess. He's encouraging you. He wants you to have peace. The problem is Satan and the world want you to hit a moving target on their definition. And it's not peace. When you hear the word happy, that's probably what they're shooting for. If you notice in society, people will say they love everything, but they'll be hard-pressed to say they like something. We've switched the words around. You need to stop seeking any kind of happiness and look for godly peace and godly joy. So, fear not. He brings us good news of great joy. We can have peace with God because of who he is and what he has done. Sure bought my hunting gloves, okay, whatever. But anyway, why is Pastor doing this? Hey, kids, how's it going? And then I know Debbie's got that heat. I don't know if Debbie's here today. She's not, but she's got that vest that heats up, you know. So I mean, we all want one of those now. And this is not one of them. Okay, Hebrews 1:3 says this. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word, making purifications for sins. He sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So he's fully God, fully man. He brings us the greatest gift himself, and that is that he was tempted in all ways, yet he did not sin, and God required a perfect sacrifice. So he says, I'm going to take your punishment for you. And if we choose to accept his ransom for us, he purifies us, and our sins are made as white as snow. We're put in relationship. He has won the victory. He is the dawn, as the song says, and the beginning, this is Christmas, of redeeming grace. Awesome. Redeeming grace, a silent night that brings heavenly peace. And what does this do? 2 Timothy 1:10 says this. This has now been made evident through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Pastor, why are you telling us? Why are we going on Wednesday nights? And why are we learning how to witness? And why is this the main thing about our church? And da-da-da-da-da-da. Because this is what it says in the scripture. The gospel is the good news that you can have peace with God. Timothy's saying it there. This is why he came. This is what he brought to light. It's through the gospel, the good news. Our condition, all of sin, Romans says in 3:23, and fall short. Our destination, our payment, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but to get to God's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we're destined to hell, and we're destined to pay, And the greatest gift, his solution, God so loved the world, John 3:16, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Through the message of Christmas, the gospel, Christ is the greatest gift. Your next fill-in is this. Through the message of Christmas, the gospel, Christ is the greatest gift, abolishes sin and brought life. Guys, this is the only way you're going to have peace. You know why I'm getting to heaven? Jesus, period. That's it. Doesn't matter what I've done, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. One name, Jesus Christ, and what he's done, and what I and my faith in what he's done, accepting that free gift. You kind of understand the, I mean, I understand we know the wise men. Whoever did it the right way. You keep them over there, and in January, somebody make an epiphany cake, and we'll move them closer. We'll have cake, and we'll celebrate it, okay, when the wise men came. But, and I had a reason there, and I got off on the wise men, but okay, but you know, we're he brings us life. He abolishes sin. So we can have relationship with God. And that is the most important thing, the biggest gift. And the reason the wise men is what I was thinking of is they brought gifts. And when you look in the gifts that they brought, they represented what Christ was going to do. He was a king. He was going to die in his lordship. But before they gave those gifts, God gave his gift, saying, Jesus obeyed the Father, and Jesus is fully God. He didn't do it because he had to. So that makes it even more the fact that God loves you. Is that he said, yeah, I'll offer myself to give them the potential to be saved. Problem is, you know, we're all different. Some of you guys are so humble, and you're just better than me, but I like gifts, yeah? Okay, that's my love language. It's not that I have to have stuff. I like it. We all have different love languages, and I love my family, but they all have the love language I don't have, which is quality time. It's not like I don't want to spend time with them, okay? But if you ever look at the five love languages, let's get off here for a minute. It's acts of service, gifts, words of encouragement. I have about all three of those, but quality time, it's like, yeah, I'll spend time with you, but this is all you want, you know? I got you. And what everybody tries to do is they try to give their love language gift to the person that has the other one. Makes sense that it doesn't work, but what I'm trying to say here, the greatest gift, any of you that like gifts or presents or surprises, you're going to take that gift and let it sit there with a big bow, just wrapped really good, and when it's time for you to open it, not open it. Jesus Christ is the greatest gift. And I just told you about it, and some of you need to open it today. Some of you need to give the gift to other people by letting them know there's a gift under the tree for you, and it's not a Red Ryder BB gun. Okay? But you see what I'm saying? This is why the principle of giving gifts happen. A lot of times we think just the wise men, but God gave his gift first, his life. And it makes it even a better gift because he didn't make Jesus give it. Jesus did it willingly on his own. Man, that's awesome. To abolish sin, we were destined for death, hell, and the grave. No hope. And now we can have life when we choose to open. This is why we do an invitation. This is why God tells Christians to go and to share the hope of this, is that you can have a relationship in real life with God and stop trying to hit an imaginary target of fake worldly peace. What does the light shine in our life produce? It produces heavenly peace. Philippians 4:7 says this, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, look at this, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. We need to figure this out, guys. Any sin and anything that's going on in our life starts in our mind, and it generates from our heart, because the heart is the core. So I want you to understand, Satan is trying to attack your heart and mind and get you off kilter, that you do not have godly peace. This is why 2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against God, and putting every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Why did I learn that verse? Because, guys, sin starts with a thought. Jesus says if you hate someone in your heart, you've already murdered them. He says if you lust after somebody in your heart, you've already fallen through that sin. And so that verse, 2 Corinthians 10:5, helps me when and I imagine that Jesus is at the gate of my mind, and I ask the question, when I get a thought, is this something that Jesus would want me to think more about? Or do I need to go to Philippians 4, verses 6 through 9, and start thinking, think on these things? Because this is where this is from, Philippians 4, 7. And talking about, we'll guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so Christ's peace, that shalom, is foundational. It's based on abiding in Christ. That means living in Christ. And it means wholeness. It means satisfaction. It means life everlasting. God's peace, his ultimate peace, we can have, and it will guard our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So how should we live this out? Because I know everybody here just walks around calm, as cool as a cucumber. I know nothing ever jars you. And yes, I'm sadistic, but I love it when people that never get jarred, I start noticing they're getting jarred. It's like, oh, that's their button. That's what bothers them, you know. And you guys try it with me. I know I'm OCD, but I've had to chill out so much for the past few years. I love it when I see an OCD person and I see their hot button because I just want to bug them. And then some of you, oh, that really does bother you. And then when there's something that bothers them that doesn't bother me, then I start to notice it. Like there was a guy in our old church, OCD is just every details. You have to have something a certain way, okay? Obsessive compulsive disorder if you really want to go there. But anyway, so there's a guy in our church, one of the coolest guys, just real neat, laid back, and I didn't realize he was OCD. He goes, I never can wear a black shirt because you notice everything on it. And I'm like, that never bothered me, but it does now. Okay? okay? And then some of you amateurs, I know that my office is my last bastion of control. Okay? I know that I notice when something's moved or what's going on. And some people over the years, like, I'm going to move something or put something in there. Who cares? Okay, all right. Yeah, that's minor league, okay? But what we see here is that having the peace of God, there are so many things that can wreck and shake your peace. You don't have to be OCD. Some of you just play tough, but there's stuff that bothers you. But all the time, Satan is trying to get you onto the worldly peace. This will take care of my problems. Spoiler alert, we're in a broken world. If nothing bad's happened to you lately, you're just doubly blessed. And I'm not a doom and gloom. I have the hope of Christ. But if you have not read this word of God that we're reading, we're in a broken world, and it's not going to get any better other than us having revival and people getting saved. It is winding down, and people are going to hell, and people will do bad things. So you better have the true light, you better have the true peace, and you better stop trying to figure out things that are not going to jar you and just say, I'm holding on to Jesus. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You make me to lie down in green pastures, and you restoreth my soul, and you can sit down and eat a meal in the presence of your enemies. That's real peace, because you're focusing on the shepherd, not the things that jar you. So we see here in John, in John 16:33, I have told you these things so that notice, in me you may have peace. You will have suffering in this world. A lot of you guys have been there or going through it right now, but notice what he says, and I got an explanation point. This: be courageous. I have conquered the world. My goodness. In Christ. John 15:5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me will bear much fruit, but without me, you can do nothing. You got to abide in Christ. I talked about spiritual disciplines a couple of weeks ago. You got to stay close to God, and you got to start with God, and you got to walk with God, and you got to end with God. You got to abide. You got to get real close to have peace in this world. And notice this, you will have suffering. I encourage you this year, if you're not part of Voice of the Martyrs, so you can understand that most of the people around the world are suffering, Christians, for their faith. That it's not, I don't want to suffer, I don't choose to suffer, but we're going to have suffering. But Satan will want you to focus on the suffering. But notice he says, be courageous. Why? Because he's conquered the world, because he's provided a way of peace through that silent night. Christ overcame. Only the light of Christ can silence Satan, sin, and the grave and give us peace. And so, why is this important? Why is this different? Your next fill-in. We can only live a silent night and have the peace of Christ because he has conquered the world. Doesn't look like it right now, does it? But I want you to understand, Satan is the prince of this world, and he can do nothing without God being in control. And we won't get into that theological argument, but in the sense of this, but spoiler alert, God's won. What we're dealing with right now is a time of grace for you that have the gift. You know, everybody's rushing around to get everybody the gifts that they had and make sure they're on their list, but why are we not rushing around to all those lost people to share the reason for the season? He's conquered. He's won. We're behind enemy lines right now telling people that they can have hope. And so how can we live this out? John 16:21 says this, when a woman is in labor, she has pain because her time has come. But when she has given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the suffering because the joy that a person has been born into the world. I think a lot of you women would attest for that. You remind your kids about the six-day labor and all this kind of stuff and how all the things they did and how horrible it was, but you're glad they're here. And some people say kidney stones are like that too, and that's why you have one, and then you start drinking the Diet Coke again, and then you feel a tinge and you say, hey, maybe I should straighten up. Not that that's happened to me, but anyway, we'll see. But, you know, once that's delivered and once that's out, kidney stones, baby, whatever, okay, it's like there's the joy. And so I want you to understand, don't focus. The whole of creation, Romans says, is in the child pains of saying, man, we're broken. This is not how it's supposed to be. I long for wholeness. Joy comes in the morning. And so waiting, looking towards that silent night, that eternal, that heavenly peace and that joy, while we wait in joy. And so a lot of us don't like to wait on stuff. My goodness, Prime and Amazon, which same thing, I guess, all this kind of stuff and strangers coming and delivering stuff without marked cars and I'm not strapped in the yard, whatever, okay? I had a pick. I thought, well, I guess I could at least get one good whack in there, you know? But, you know, it's like this. Some of you remember this thing called a mailbox and people sending you packages, like some of you remember sending cookies to people and you put the apple in there to keep them fresh and all this, and you had to figure out the time to do it. Some of us grew up with a little thing called anticipation. And now, because of the ketchup, you're making me wait. Some of you will get that, okay? But here's what I'm saying. Let's think about this for a minute. Now it's like, man, we're getting Amazon and Prime, and some of you went to the house. We are out in the middle of nowhere, and they're coming right up to the door, okay? How is it about this that I got to have my happiness now? Guys, joy is much deeper when you know you're saved, and regardless of what's going on, I'm looking towards that. And everything in society is telling you, don't wait. Everything's in time that you have to have it now. This is why I'm convinced we're seeing more divorces and breakdowns in the family. It's like, you're not making me happy. Any of you that haven't been married, and some of you that have been married long enough, it is not your spouse's job to make you happy. It is your job, according to Scripture, to give all of your life to God and to them and put God first and then them and then others. But this is why we're seeing the rise in this, not just now. Well, they didn't make me happy. Well, guess what? I think if any of us live long enough, there's going to be a day or two, a year, or whatever that you ain't happy. Because let's just drop happiness. Pastor, not happy at all. Yes, I am. I have a great time. I'm enjoying myself. But happiness is temporary. Joy is like, yeah, this life, I was going to say sucks right now, or stinks. Okay, sorry, kids. All right. This life stinks right now, but you know what? God is good, and I know I'm saved, and I know this is not how it ends. Okay? And so John 14:6 says, see what happens when the heat's off? I get warmed up. Okay, whatever. But okay, John 14, make sure I'm on. Yeah, John 14:27 says this, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Don't let your heart be troubled or fearful. You need to do a Bible study or whatever on godly peace and define how you're going to have joy and peace. Because I am convinced the problems we're having in our lives is we're trying to hit that moving target. Just like the shepherds on that silent night, Christ brings us a message. He left them with the gift of the peace of God, and you don't need to be troubled. You don't need to be fearful in your next fill-in. We can live a silent life. We can have the peace of Christ because of enduring joy. Christ has conquered, and Christ has brought heavenly peace. Christ leaves us with his peace that he is the dawn of redeeming grace to seek godly peace that creates a silent night in the midst of a spiritually dark world. And so, you know, that organ wasn't playing and they made this beautiful, that's one of my favorite songs. And you know, the lyrics in the sense of the theology in it. And so, you know, a new song that's not playing. And I think according to legend as it goes, and I'll probably be corrected later after you Google it, they still played the song and they played it on a guitar, and guess what? It still was great. Chaos in the world says you got to have everything just right. OCD says everything has to be just right. And then guess what? We're in a broken world that's never going to be just right. But when you let God decide how he wants to play the song of peace in your life, it's going to be beautiful. And so we can only have victory when we submit only to God and that we seek his peace. This is a new time. The darkness has passed away. This is the dawn of redeeming grace. A lot of you say, why has Jesus not come? Because he wants all to be saved and none to perish. And he can come at any time, but the reason he tarries is because people are lost and you have the gift, and Christian, you haven't taken it to him. And because we can have godly peace and we can have heavenly peace and we can have a silent night, because as the words of the lyric, oh, it's just so powerful. Jesus, Lord at thy birth. Hebrews 13:8 says this, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we're going to have a time of invitation here in a moment. And today and during this season, I want to ask you a question. What kind of night are you having? James 4:7 says this, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. The three R's of a silent night, you need to recognize it's Satan that's trying to get you off target, and you need to submit to God and say, God, I'm going to follow your definition. I'm going to follow your definition of peace. I'm going to look for enduring joy. I'm not just going to look for temporary. And then you need to refuse to listen to him. This is where it comes into that whatsoever is good, whatsoever is lovely, think on these things. Stop it there. And you need to resist. And what does he say? Either God is telling the truth or a liar. He will flee. The problem is, the first thing that comes up, we get distracted. We don't got heat. Yeah, it may not be comfortable, but you're all here and you're either asleep or you're staying awake because you're cold or you're listening, but we're having fellowship. God could use some of that to say, well, maybe I need to just stay at home or whatever. We just didn't tell you, so you'd be here anyway. Whatever. But here's the deal. He will flee. Submit, resist, and he will flee. Right now, we're in the pains of sin, but there's coming a silent night where Christ will make everything right. But that's what Christmas is about. And so the question I have for you today, are you living a silent night, and do you have the peace of Christ? As we stand to our feet and we have